Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the final episode of the Drone to 1K podcast for season 6. Today's podcast is a little different than some of the others. Number one, I was in person for this podcast. We filmed it at a podcast studio in town, and our guest, Juan, he drove up from Miami to Lakeland, which is like 3 or 4 hours just for this podcast interview, and it was great. One of my favorite ones that we've done this season. I know I say that, but truly this one's great. All about FPV. Juan taught himself FPV. Learned how to do really, really sick residential real estate for sale for premium real estate agents, and just has some awesome, awesome fly-through video examples. Also just breaks down tons of tips if you're trying to get started in FPV. He told me he's broken down the process of becoming proficient in a simulator from, like, I don't know, 40 or 80 hours to down to only maybe a dozen or something like that. But he also talked about just how he faked his, well, I don't want to give it away. It's really good. Really check it out, especially if you're looking into doing FPV for commercial use. A great resource there. Just super gritty entrepreneurial guy. Really fun episode. As always, if you want a really comfy, I'm not looking at the camera right now because I'm trying to drive it, be safe. If you're a really comfy Drone Launch Academy t-shirt, leave us a review, screenshot it, send it to me, david@dronelaunchacademy.com. I'll send you out a sweet drone launch tee for the time to leave a review. A sad farewell. This is the last one of season 6. So I hope you've enjoyed this season and hope you found it beneficial if you are considering starting your own entrepreneurial journey with drones. Just know there's a lot of people out there who are in the same boat as you. They figured out a way to make it successful. A lot of it just comes down to perseverance and be willing to try things. With that said, enjoy this final episode of the Drone to 1K podcast. Thank you so much for living along and consuming these episodes. One of the reasons I enjoy making them is because I know you all appreciate them just from the comments and stuff I get back on how they give you hope, encouragement, inspiration, tactics. So I really enjoyed being helpful to this community. So I really appreciate you all and hope you enjoy this final episode with Juan. See you guys. All right, welcome back to the Drone to 1K podcast. Season 6, I think this is episode 10. I'm here with Juan Quiñones of FPV Creator Pro. He just launched a new course not too long ago. And Luxy Drone, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Juan.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you convinced me to do the podcast in a little bit of a nicer setting this time in an actual podcast studio with lights, cameras, all this stuff instead of just on Zoom. So I know you drove 4 hours for this. So I appreciate you coming up. Well, let's just dive right in. Introduce yourself to everyone and then maybe just go start back at the beginning of when did you first touch a drone?
It all started the day I was born. No, I'm just kidding. So my name is Juan Quiñones. I actually grew up in Miami, Florida. I was 16 years old, sitting in my U.S. history class, depressed, lost, anxious. All of my friends were going off to college. They knew what they wanted to do with their lives, and I was still very much lost. And one day while sitting in history class, I saw this video of these guys just traveling the world, creating content. I was like, I don't know what job that is, but that's what I want. They were pretty young. They were like in their 20s. Like, okay, I have to find a way to make that happen. So I basically figured that I don't need school to become a content creator. So I basically dropped out that same year, started cutting class. I would skate over to a local Starbucks and just like watch YouTube videos of entrepreneurship.
In the middle of school?
Yeah, yeah. I'd check into like the first period or homeroom just to collect attendance so they don't call my parents. And then I just skate over to Starbucks and get free Wi-Fi, learn about like, you know, mindset, entrepreneurship, all that stuff. Shortly after, I got a job as a limo driver at 16 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Man, trusting limo company.
Yeah, yeah. So my brother actually, he started a luxury transportation company.
Okay.
He's like, I need a driver. I don't trust anyone.
Oh, okay.
Why not my brother?
Nice. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so then fast forward, I'm like 16, 17, driving around millionaires in Miami Beach, and they're just giving to me their wisdom of life and entrepreneurship. Just like, do what you love. I'm like, all right, that's all I need to hear. So saved up some money, bought my videography equipment, and I was around like 18 years old filming on a yacht in Miami Beach.
Well, first off, how'd you get on a yacht in Miami Beach at 18 years old?
With a camera. Camera is the keys to the kingdom. You can get into any room with a camera.
I mean, did you just walk up to a random yacht on the docks and just be like, hey, I got a camera, let me on? Like, what's the story?
Hey, man, you want a free video with my camera? No. It was through social media. I had friends that were like in the boating scene. Some guys with jet skis and flyboards, stuff like that. So I'd film them. And they're like, hey, Juan, we're going to be doing this like yacht party if you want to come film it.
Gotcha.
I'm like, yeah, cool, let's do it.
Cool.
So I'm on this yacht party and there's an FPV drone pilot there. This guy's like taking off from the boat and he's wearing these goggles and he's just diving from buildings and doing all kinds of acrobatics with the drones. And he was like the hit of the party. Everyone was like, whoa, that's so cool. And I was like blown away, no pun intended. And I'm like, dude, that's so awesome. Can you teach me how to do this? And he's like, no. It took me 8 years to learn how to do this. You're some random guy I've never met before. Why would I teach you this skill? And I was like, All right, fair. Can I pay you to teach me how to fly drones? Absolutely not. You think I was born yesterday? Do you think I want to create competition for myself?
I'm one of these guys.
So this guy was a major gatekeeper. He wouldn't even tell me the name of the drone or the type of flying. Like, FPV wasn't a word that I learned until a few years ago. So I was just kept in the dark for a few years. During COVID, I saw a video of these guys flying drones. They were like diving buildings and like going over cliffs and mountains and waterfalls. I'm like, all right. What is this? I have to look into it. And I discovered it's FPV. Hmm.
And for those that are listening who have no idea what FPV means.
Yeah, FPV stands for first person view.
Yep. So that's like racing drones, or we see, you know, people doing crazy stunts and action camera type stuff. That's all FPV for the most part.
Yeah, and actually on that topic, a quick distinguishment between FPV drones and your regular Mavic series drones is that Mavic drones basically like, they kind of fly themselves. They have like GPS locks, so they don't move around. Like if you let go of the controller, it's not going to fall out of the air. Whereas FPV, you are 100% responsible for the drone at all times. If you even for a second let go of the joysticks, it'll fall out of the air and crash and hit somebody. So
there's not even GPS on, at least the ones I know of, there's not even GPS installed anywhere on it, right?
Right. They don't come installed with GPS typically. Like that's something you add on to it afterwards, but
right.
Yeah, and then like if you were to compare it to how it feels to fly versus flying a Mavic, it's kind of like, I don't know, sitting like in a Tesla that's on autopilot.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, versus like a Ferrari like on the racetrack. That's right. The difference of how it feels to fly each one, I think.
Yeah, I don't have much experience with FPV drones, but I flew one for the first time, I don't know, a year or two ago, and instantly just crashed it over. And I've been flying drones for 6 or 7 years at that point, even on like, you know, manual mode on the Mavics and some other stuff. And just, it's totally different because you can just flip them right over just without even thinking about it. So back to your story, you finally figured out that it was FPV drones. So what year was this boat yacht thing?
Oh yeah, that was back in like 2016. And then a few years passed by and then COVID hit.
So were you doing much with drones between like 2016, 2020?
Oh, that's a whole story. I kind of skipped that part. So I continued my videography business till I was about like 19, 20 years old, and COVID hit. By that time, I had like 5 clients, and I was very, very comfortable, you know, being a teenager in Miami, just like too much partying, too much comfort. I basically realized that I was growing as a person. I was just like hanging around the same people doing the same things weekend after weekend. And I was like, all right, there has to be more to life than this. And then when COVID hit, my clients started dropping off like flies, like one by one. They were calling like, oh, hey, Juan, sorry, unfortunately, we can't afford your videography services anymore. We're going to have to cancel. So I saw that as like a huge blessing and an opportunity to actually like leave Miami. I was like, all right.
At the time you saw that as a blessing? Did you freak out?
Like, no, immediately I was like, this is great. Like I'm done like, you know, filming parties and filming things in Miami. Like I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel, explore. That's what I, you know, left high school for, is because I wanted to see the world. So if that hadn't happened, I really wonder if I would have just stayed in Miami a few more years and just like, you know, been doing the same old. So
yeah.
I'm actually glad that I get to leave and travel and get some experience outside of that. But yeah, so I moved to Vegas for a job opportunity. Job didn't pan out. A friend from high school calls me up. He's like, Juan, come to Vegas. There's people making $80,000 a month selling solar panels. I was like, whoa. This has to be a scam. All right, I'm down.
I'm like, this has to be a scam. I'm in.
this sounds way too good to be true. I was like, I'm in it for the plot.
You know, like me in crypto.
for the adventure, I'll go to Vegas and see what's up.
But you had to lose, yeah.
Yeah, but so I go there and I find that it's true. People are making $80,000 a month selling solar. But what I didn't know and what my buddy didn't tell me was that they were doing it in unethical ways. Like they were basically like getting old ladies to sign contracts that they didn't understand to get the whole solar panels and all that stuff. It's like an $80,000 loan, all that. And that was very unethical. So I was like, no, that's not for me. So I basically stopped. After I found that out, I basically quit that company. And now I'm in a brand new city of Las Vegas. And I was like, well, I've got two options. I can either go back home, go back to Miami, or I could stay here and figure it out. So
yeah.
That's when I learned the value of cold calling and marketing. So I basically cold called like over 50 video businesses in Vegas.
Okay.
Every single one of them said, no, we don't need a videographer. We don't need a photographer. We don't need an editor. I was like, damn, I need to figure out how I'm going to pay for rent.
Yeah.
And then I called this one company, like literally the last one on the list.
Oh, really?
It was a wedding company. And I was like, hey, man, are you guys hiring for a videographer? He's like, dude. This is a blessing from God. Yes, we were looking for somebody. I was like,
this was like after like 50 of them?
Literally number 50, yeah. Wow. After 49, that was like number 50. It was the last on the list. So met the guy. He took me under his wing, taught me how to film weddings. And I started filming weddings for like a year or two. So that kept me afloat while I like figured out what my next move was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a call like a year and a half later from a friend from the solar industry. He's like, hey man, I quit that company because they were super unethical. But I'm working for this other company now. There's this millionaire. His name's Edmund. He needs a videographer. Are you down to film this guy? I was like, boom, say less, I'm in.
Yeah.
So part of this job description was to like live with the guy, document his lifestyle. He's
okay.
Got the cars, the women, the yachts, or not the yachts in Vegas, but just the whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
The canoes, yeah. So I became this guy's full-time videographer. And before this, I felt like pretty lost because I was once again comfortable. But being exposed to like all of the wealth and opportunity and just abundance, I was like, wow, you know what? This guy can do it. I can do it. So that really just woke me up and gave me like the push that I needed to get the belief within myself that I could become like a 6-7-figure business owner, mm-hmm. and like, you know, start building something of my own. So then eventually, like a few months after working with this guy, my ambitions grew like too big and I kind of felt like I was being limited by the opportunity at the moment. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right, thank you so much for this opportunity. On to the next thing.
Yeah.
And around that time, I was still like learning FPV. I was still practicing in the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that's like the whole period of how I went from videography in Miami to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And this was during COVID that I started picking up the controller and started learning FPV.
Yeah. When you got to Vegas, did you know other people in Vegas that were doing FPV? Or I guess, because you said you weren't as familiar with it, mm-hmm. as much with it. And in 2020, obviously you had videography skills, which can translate to mm-hmm. your drones. But what is it that when you were in Vegas got you back into looking at the FPV stuff? Do you remember?
What got me back? It was just one video that really like stood out to me. It was the famous bowling alley video.
Yeah,
I don't know if
yeah.
you've seen it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So guy, for those who haven't seen it, it was a guy like flying inside of a bowling alley and he's just filming like an FPV one take where there's different actors. They're all talking to each other. There's like little mini stories and plots and storylines. And he's flying through this entire bowling alley. And at the very end of the video, he runs into the bowling balls and the little machine takes the FPV drone and just collects it. So it was mm-hmm. super dope. I've never seen anything like that before. And that's what really pushed me to get back into FPV.
Cool. So did you go, wait, what was your first step? Did you go out and buy an FPV drone or just get a controller? I guess, how did you get started with it?
Yeah. So my first step was to like scour the internet and see like what, like how do I get into this? So I just did a YouTube university to try to learn FPV. And mm-hmm. the first step was to just buy a controller. You plug the controller into your computer and you play a game called Liftoff.
Mm-hmm.
Tip, don't fly your first drone in real life. You want to,
especially for FPV.
Yeah, you want to start off in a simulator. You have to learn how to fly like a real life flight school. So yeah, you start off in the simulator and then after you get good enough, then you buy your first drone and you crash it a bunch of times and figure out how to fix it and then fly in real life until you're not crashing.
You said Liftoff. Is that like a Steam game or like where do you get that?
Yeah, you can download it on Steam.
Oh, okay, cool. And you just plug a controller into computer and you can control it all that way?
Yes, correct.
If you're going to recommend a controller to someone who's just starting off, is there mm-hmm. a specific type that you like?
Yes, I recommend the Tango 2 Pro.
Tango 2 Pro. Okay.
Actually, get the standard because the Pro is like an extra $50 and it doesn't do much different.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much do those run you?
It's about $180 for the Tango 2 standard and about like $250 or $240 around there for the Pro.
Okay, cool. And then you can use that when you get a like a FPV drone, I assume,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, sweet. So back to your story. You're in the simulator doing that while you were filming wedding videos at this time?
I started off with the wedding videos and then two working with this millionaire guy.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
You know, like throughout the whole process, yeah.
Yeah.
I was practicing the simulator, just being consistent. The only obstacle at that time with the simulator was that there weren't that many like resources on how to fly FPV in the simulator. You just figure it out, you know, try to beat all the maps.
There wasn't actual like teaching of the skill.
No, yeah, exactly.
You know, trial and error.
I love this analogy. Have you ever seen Avatar?
Yeah, I mean a while ago, yeah.
So there's a scene where Jake Sully's on this cliff and there's a bunch of dragons and his mission is to connect his hair ponytail thing to the dragon, right? And as soon as he, you know, starts approaching this dragon to try to like connect with it, all the dragons are like snarling at him and growling and like they're trying to bite him. And then he just jumps on this one dragon, connects his ponytail penis, jumps off of the... He jumps off of the cliff and then the dragon just like tries to kill him. So he's basically like falling to his death and the dragon's like, yeah. So then finally he gets control of the dragon and he's able to fly.
Yeah.
That's what your first time flying FPV is like.
Might be the best analogy that we've ever had on the podcast. So you figured out how to tame this mythical avatar dragon
with your
ponytail while you were working for this millionaire guy.
Yeah,
you were doing all that in the simulator?
In the simulator, right. But so the first time like you try to control the drone, it's going to try to kill you. Like it doesn't do whatever you tell it to do. And mm-hmm. it's just like... got a mind of its own.
And I figured that. I was trying to fly mine around with a bunch of kids around, and I almost ran into him like a thousand times.
Almost.
I mean, I was flying
Johnny.
A really small one.
Like okay, fair.
It was like a beta FPV or something. I don't remember what the company, but anyways.
Nice, yeah. For the first 30 hours, I couldn't figure out how to walk. Mm. Like, you have to basically learn how to walk in the simulator, right, before you can run. And then first 30 hours go by, I'm still lost. This is like the first hour that I started, developed all of the wrong habits. And about 50, 60 hours in, I started getting discouraged because I still like couldn't complete a single flight map. I couldn't complete a single race. And like
in this thing, you have to like complete like missions or like
races, exactly.
Races. Okay.
So basically somehow by magic, you have to learn how to fly and then you complete all the races and then it becomes fun.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't fun for the first 60 hours.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out. Finally, a friend of mine started flying the simulator and he was about 30 hours in and he was completing all the missions and all the maps. So I'm like
rubbing it in.
All right, dude, maybe this just isn't for me. Maybe like my brain is not wired that way. Maybe FPV is just not for me. And I was so close to quitting so many different times just throughout the simulator period. I'm not even flying in real life yet. Yeah. I want to quit. And then by hour like 60, 70, I basically put all my gear in a box and said, you know what, forget this. I quit. 2 months later, I watched the same bowling out of the video. I'm like, we're going to figure this out. Get back into it. And I was about 70 hours in. I said, all right, I'm going to make it to at least 100 hours and then I'll quit. If I make it to 100 hours and I still don't get it, all right, I'm done with this. By hour 70 or 80, something clicked in my mind and it all made sense. And then by hour 90, finally I was able to beat all of the challenges inside of both games, Liftoff and Liftoff Micro Drones.
Awesome.
Sweet. So that's important, the little time factor there, because we're going to tie back into that with how I'm able to teach my members how to beat the simulator in as little as 8 hours. So you go from 90 hours to 8 hours. It's amazing.
That's awesome. So now that you had the simulator time down, you got that figured out, like where did you go from there?
After I learned how to complete all of the maps inside of the simulator and I learned how to fly, I basically took the next step, which is to buy my first drone, buy the goggles, and start learning how to fly. I almost burned down my house because I didn't know how to charge up the batteries properly. Apparently, LiPo batteries are different from like your regular DJI batteries that you plug into a wall. Uh-huh. So that was like the first mistake I made there. Had to learn about LiPo safety real quick.
So what, real quick, just for people who are, you know, let's say their only experience is plugging DJI batteries into the wall, cough me, what's different and how'd you almost burn your house down?
DJI batteries, they have like built-in regulators where if you just leave them at full charge and you put them in like a storage closet, if you come back like 2 months later, you'll see that it went from 100% to maybe like 50% or 75%. That's good for the battery's health. So that's just one difference between LiPos and FPV batteries. Another difference is like you can't fly your LiPos all the way down to zero. It's really, really bad for the battery. And then the third thing is you have to program like how fast you want to charge your batteries. So I was inputting in all the wrong settings for charging my batteries.
And you have to like program the charger.
Yeah, so you have to program the chargers to charge the batteries.
Oh.
So I put in all the wrong settings and that's how I almost burned my house down.
Are you supposed to charge it like slowly or what?
Yeah, every light bulb has like a different, there's like a math to it.
Okay.
Yeah, where you have to charge it like at 1C or something like that. But
okay.
Yeah, so made some mistakes there. Luckily, I had a fireproof bag, so.
Was it in a fireproof bag when it caught on fire?
No, that came after. The fireproof bag came after.
Did it light on fire? Or is it just like, like it might?
It was a... It was like a little burnt corner, just imagine a burnt corner in your house.
Oh, no.
But it was like really tiny boot battery, so it was fine.
Okay.
But it had this terrible smell. It's like really toxic for humans, so I had to open up windows, and it was this whole thing. But everything was fine.
All right, so figured out the battery thing.
Figured that out real quick, and then I started flying in real life, and I had my first like 20 crashes, 30 crashes. By the 50th crash, it was like a really durable drone. Something broke inside of the drone finally, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I looked up on YouTube how to fix broken FPV drone, and that's like the worst thing you could ever type in, because there's like 100
like a billion different results.
Yeah, there's like 50 different things that could go wrong as far as like programming and coding, and then another 50 things as far as like the physical. So I had no idea what to look at. So I go to an FPV group on Facebook and I'm asking for advice, and people are giving me really complicated like advice. I'm like, is this even English? Kind of sounds like two doctors talking to each other, two scientists. I had no idea what they were saying. And then there was the other band of people which were like, oh, if you're asking these questions, then you shouldn't be flying drones.
I hate that. You're like, how else am I supposed to learn? Like, that's the worst thing when people are like, they get snobby and they're like, oh, if you ask, you don't even know. It's like, exactly. This is why I'm here, you know?
The group chat is called the Beginner to FPV. Oh
my, was it really?
Yeah, it's like Beginner FPV, something like that.
That's so discouraging.
Yeah, so I was getting some snobby answers. I was like, well, Facebook isn't too helpful. There were some people trying to help me genuinely, but again, their answers were so technical that I just couldn't understand them.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, thank you guys for all your advice. And I went back to YouTube, just trying to go between Facebook and YouTube and Facebook and YouTube. Never found the answer. And I went on months just doing this. And then finally, all right, I need mentorship. I'm the kind of person who does best when I have somebody telling me exactly what to do.
That's right. Most people do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I realized I needed mentorship. And I go on the same Facebook group. I'm like, hey, can anybody mentor me? I will pay you guys money to mentor me and teach me how to fly drones. And people are like, oh, yeah, sure. Pay me $200 an hour, $150 an hour. I was like, $125 an hour. Okay, that's fair. You know, you guys are going to help me save years. That's fine.
Yeah.
At that time, like, money was kind of tight. I was, like, in a new city, new job. You know, things weren't super great for me. And then I found somebody who was actually willing to teach me at no charge. His name is Ray. He actually is one of the instructors for this program right now. Mm. This guy's a technical wizard. So I came to him with like a pile of broken drone parts. And he's like, I'm like, dude, I don't think this is going to ever fly again. He's like, let me look at that. Oh, this wire came loose. Fixes it within 10 minutes. It's back up in the air flying.
And you're like, thank you.
I'm like, dude, thank you so much. So at that moment, I realized like, all right, there's a very clear problem here. Like, this whole process, by the way, was about a year to beat the simulator for me, because it was like 90 hours spread out between a year. And then another 3 months of trial and error, flying, almost burning down the house. And then another 3 months of working with Ray and having him basically teach me how to repair the drones. So just throughout this whole process, like about like a year and 6 months. So after I finally got up in the air in real life and I started practicing in real life, 6 months after that, I was good enough to where I could start charging for my FPV drone work. And at the very end of this journey, I'm like, damn, there has to be a much better way. There has to be a more efficient way to learn this skill and start making money like immediately. At the point where I started working with this guy who was teaching me how to fix the drones, that's when I stopped working with this millionaire guy.
Okay.
I was just going back to filming weddings at that point.
Okay. So you quit the millionaire guy, go back to filming weddings, figured out how to fix the drone. And then obviously at some point in there, you started getting good enough with FPV drones to, I guess, when did you see, people want FPV drones, like, to hire me for FPV work. When did that happen?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that throw cool, like, events and modeling events, fashion show events, luxury type stuff. And I basically went to one of my friends who's an event host, and I'm like, hey, dude, can I fly my drone at your event? I won't charge you a thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, is it safe? I'm like, yeah, I've done this before. He's like,
it's like only a couple fires. It's no big deal.
A few house fires, not a big deal. He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I filmed my first event. The host loved it. Everyone loved it. I was like, oh, this actually got some pretty nice views. Okay. I think I had like maybe 600 views and I was only getting like 100 views on my reels back then. It's like, okay, this is good. This is more than my average. So then I started doing that more and more of going to nice events with models and, you know, shocker on Instagram, people want to see half naked women. So I guess that helped the algorithm a little bit. Yeah, started getting more views, started getting invited to more gigs. And then eventually I started filming some real estate properties. I reached out to my first real estate agent. I'm like, hey, I've got a crazy idea for a service I want to provide here in Vegas. Nobody else is doing it. Is it okay if I beta test this with you? He's like, how much are you going to charge me? I'm like, well, I'm planning on selling the service for $2,500 when I launch the final version, but for you, no charge. He's like, all right, cool, let's do it.
Did you know that real estate agent in advance before, or was that a cold call?
No, this was, I was just going down the list, just calling people off of like Zillow.
So cold call.
Yeah, just cold called him. He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead, do it.
Okay.
So I did that for him. He loved the video.
Was it just like a, what was, describe the video for us.
Yeah, so this is my first one. It wasn't that great, but my intention for this video was a FPV one take where from start to finish, like, there's no cuts. So you fly in through like the gate of the property, into the front door, through the living room, out through the balcony, show off like the entire Las Vegas strip, and then back into the house, into the kitchen, master bedroom, and then outside into like over the pool, and just reveal the whole property. So that was the whole flight plan for that property. He loved that video, and he's just kept on inviting me to more properties. I'm like, do you have any other friends who might benefit from this? And they're like, yeah, I know some people. So just through him and through networking with other real estate agents on my own, I was able to just start getting a few gigs. In the beginning, everything was no charge, so it was unpaid work. But in my opinion, I wasn't
kind of like portfolio building anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Portfolio building. And I wasn't good enough to start charging yet. So I was like, you know, you gotta start somewhere. And then eventually I got my first paid gig. Started off high because my company's name is Luxury Drone, and I only wanted to work with luxury properties. I'm like, these guys have the money. So I was like, yeah, my fee is $1,500. So they're like, okay, cool. So didn't flinch, shot one for $1,500. And then
and they were fine with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure these properties like 10 mil plus. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So they got the marketing budget for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Started getting referred to different brokerages in Vegas, different properties, and started getting like 5 to 6 different listings per month. Started doing pretty well. And then I had one video.
Were you charging them all the $1,500?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was charging them all $1,500. And then
so you're doing what, like $7,500 a month or more?
Yeah, around there. Yeah. It'll vary. Not every month is like... Yeah.
But let's say it was five. That's like that would come out to like, what, $7,500-ish?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, okay. Exactly. Then I had one video pop off. It was a video collaboration between me and another agent in Vegas. His name is Stan. And that video starts the video off with him in his car. He's like, hey, I wonder what this guy's doing. He points the camera at me, and I'm in this really beautiful house. He walks up to me. He's like, hey, man, how much do you pay for rent here? I'm like, oh, I don't live here. I'm just working.
Dude, this is that's how I found you.
Yeah.
That video came up in my Explore page, and I was like, what is this? It was really cool. And that's when I started following you. And I think at some point we started DMing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now we're here.
Now we're here.
So you're this is the power of that video led to this podcast.
Yeah, it's actually the other instructor, Stefan, was through that video as well.
Dude, no way.
Yeah, he do you know Andrew Tate?
Yeah.
So he grew up with the guy who films Andrew Tate, and they both did FPV together.
Gotcha.
So he learned how to chase all the like the luxury cars and do all the crazy events with FPV, which is how him and I basically started working together.
Wow, awesome, man.
So I'm doing all the luxury homes. He's doing the luxury lifestyle cars. It's just a perfect collaboration.
Cool. All right, so you did that with that realtor. That thing popped off and then, you know.
Yeah, that thing popped off. It got 1.5 million views within like 2-3 weeks. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, and I went from having 2,300 followers on Instagram to 20K like real quick from it was that video plus another one where I was flying over the Marquee Day Club in Vegas. It's like this pool party and I was filming this DJ. So those two videos back to back, that one got like 600,000 views and then boom, I was like, all right, wow, I'm famous now. And, and then I realized like I had a link in my bio for some other, I was helping my brother get salespeople for his solar company.
Was that your link for in your bio for your FPV stuff?
Back then when this video went viral.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, I had that link in my bio, but it had nothing to do with that.
Right.
And I looked at the statistics, and it was like over, I don't know, 10,000 website clicks. I'm like, damn it. If only I had a course or a way of like, you
your brothers get a lot of solar reps.
Funny enough, we actually had like 5 people sign up.
Oh, really?
To his whole solar funnel thinking it was FPV. So I was like.
So did you end up changing your bio, I assume, at some point? You had a ton of visitors coming to your Instagram page?
Yeah, so first I had to refund those people their money because they bought the wrong thing. They thought I had a course, and they were buying a course that wasn't ready yet. Okay. So I was like, all right, I need to create a course. Like, this is first and foremost. So basically, I started, that seed was planted, started picking up with the real estate business, started getting more clients, started going on more paid gigs.
Were you getting a lot of questions on your Instagram? Like, dude, how do you do this? Or can you teach? Because, like, you know, when you were young, you said, like, you would ask people, hey, how do you do this and all this stuff? Or were you getting a lot of questions from other people who wanted to do that kind of work?
Yeah, for sure. Like during those two viral videos, I got over 200 people asking the same 3 questions.
Oh, really? What are they?
Yeah.
Like, what were the 3 questions?
What drone do you buy? How do I get started? And how much money can you make?
Gotcha.
So those are like the most 3 common questions. Basically, I was like, all right, well, it's a good idea for me to have some kind of course to help train the people who want to learn so they have a much smoother transition and process than I did. Basically, that was in the back of my mind. Just kept on filming real estate, kept on doing gigs here and there.
Because, like, I'm assuming when you got a lot more views, like, your actual, like, business picked up. You know, if you got more visibility, did you get more real estate agents reaching out? Like, I want to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got more real estate agents reaching out, restaurant owners, nightclubs.
you know, these people will go through the group coaching with you, and mm-hmm. you know, you did your trip to Bali, you got back. Did you do another round of it after that? Like after you revised it, did you take another batch of students through it?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah. So I did 3 beta tests because I was always just looking to make it better, make it faster. Right now we're on the final beta test version. We have beta test version 3.
Okay.
We're currently like at 40 students total.
Yep.
And yeah, after this, like we're gonna have the final course put out there. We've already started filming like the final version of the course, like professional podcast studio.
Gotcha. So you're gonna like record it like on video, nice on that kind of like a self-paced.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So we're gonna have 2 versions. One's gonna be the live mentorship. The other one's just gonna be like the pre-recorded stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's what we're filming in January.
Nice. Cool, man. We'll have to do some follow-up whenever you actually release it, because I'm sure people would be interested in checking it out. I know you're focused a lot. Sounded like on creating that program right now. Once that's done, are you going to like try to ramp back up the business side again, or what's going to be your focus there?
Yeah, for sure. So my main focus has been on the program right now for the coaching, but after this is like done, and what I mean by done is like I don't have to spend all day scripting and all night filming, then after that I'm going to start picking back up with the Luxy Drone business, and I want to start filming more luxury properties in Vegas, Miami, LA, Arizona. I'm also going to start doing some restaurants, some luxury gyms, golf courses, anything that has to do with luxury, I want to be there with my drone, basically.
Golf is a cool. I've seen a lot of really interesting FPV shots on golf courses. Have you seen any of these ones where they'll like sweep down right as they're hitting it? Yeah.
I love those, tough.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Golf courses make money.
Yeah. There's a lot good of clients there. Mm-hmm. So are you, I mean, you've been getting clients just in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Do people hit you up from other areas of the country wanting you to do stuff?
I've had some clients in LA, and I've had some in Miami as well.
Okay.
More recently, I've had some want to take trips with me to like Cabo or to the Bahamas. There's a lot of sales companies, entrepreneurs that have like team travel incentives with their companies. They just want me to travel with them and create like content for them.
So, yeah.
Recruiting content.
Are they going to pay you to go on the trip?
And oh, yeah, all like, of it. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Huh, dude, that's cool. So how do you plan to expand the business? I mean, you're going to do these different types of jobs, but like, do you have any plan, like, which region you're going to focus on first, or which thing you're going to focus on first?
For sure. Have you seen the movie King Richard?
What? I don't know. Maybe. But,
it's with Will Smith. And
No. Okay. No. I have no.
There's a scene in the movie where Will Smith, he's the father of Serena and Venus Williams.
Okay.
And he's trying to basically convince a bunch of investors to invest into their daughters, into his daughters, and say like, hey, my 2 daughters are going to be the world's best tennis players. Mm. And he's carrying around this like thick pamphlet. He's like, I've got a 10-step plan. It's all written out right in here. So he's got this pamphlet. He's just trying to get people to read it. I've got a 3-step plan for how I plan to basically expand for what I want to call Luxy Drone worldwide.
Okay.
So the first phase is train a bunch of pilots to fly like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then second phase is to really like focus on ramping up my business in Vegas, LA, and Miami.
Okay.
So basically start marketing in those different markets. And third step would basically be to go ahead and get my pilots that I've trained through the program to start working gigs in Miami, Vegas, LA, and eventually all over the USA and all over the world.
Yeah.
Anywhere there's like a luxury Airbnb or exotic property, I want my team to be there filming that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful stuff to film all over the world, I feel like.
Yeah, that's smart. So basically, you know, people who have been trained up or learned to fly like you, they can do their own stuff, but mm-hmm. then you can also partner with them to sort of do Luxy Drone jobs that you get in these other places through your own contacts.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. So basically there's people that love to fly just because they love to fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most people are. And then there's a few people who want to kind of just like fly and learn their business and kind of do things on their own. So mm-hmm. we help both of those people. But for the people that like want to learn and grow and start a business and just basically get leads from Luxy Drone, you know, we're basically looking to expand all over the US and help those pilots too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's smart. I was going to say, because to expand that, it's either you're going to have to go fly all over the place all the time and mm-hmm. just run yourself ragged, or train somebody up or something. So that's a smart way to kind of almost build your own network of good pilots. Are you going to try to, I mean, the only thing I can think of where that might be tough is like, how do you, just because someone goes through a class, I'm assuming not all of them are going to be all-star FPV pilots.
No, no, definitely not.
So are you going to have like a test or something to get them? Or I don't know if you plan that out.
Through the program, I tell them exactly how to like train from the simulator to flying in real life to actually filming luxury real estate. So I take them through the entire journey to basically apply to join the team. They're going to have to show me like
some work
flying
or something.
Through. Yeah. Like a luxury real estate property or a regular property. I'm just looking for specific KPIs, key performance indicators, to see like if they're good or not.
Yeah. I'm just imagining me trying to take that test and failing this. Can you just like, you know, fly through this house and just like breaking everything, crashing?
Burns down the house.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, man, that's really exciting. All that business stuff. I want to go back to a few things and get some tips. So some flying tips and then maybe a few business tips before we wrap up.
For sure.
I know a lot of people are interested, you know, in FPV drones, or, you know, a lot of people are just interested in drones are cool. I've heard you can make money with drones. How do I do that? And there's not really any easy way to do it. I think a lot of people are misled thinking, oh, if I just get a drone and a Part 107 license, like people are just going to come out of the woodwork. We talk about this a lot. Like you have to develop some type of skill, whether you go really get really good at mapping and learn the construction industry, or you learn FPV stuff really well. I think FPV is one of the areas where actual skill flying the drone matters. Mm-hmm. For most of the other things, it matters less. Most of, I think, what is important is the stuff that happens after you have the footage. You know, like doing mapping with a drone, most of it's automated. If you know how to set it up on the computer, hit a button, captures it, and then most of the skills in like the processing and reporting. With FPV, I feel like it's the one of the things where it's like the drone is the important part, you know? So let's talk about skills for a minute. So when you're training people, and let's say they've not really messed around with FPV before, what's like the first exercise you take them through? Do you have like, you know, hey, fly in a circle or do that? Like, what's the first thing you have them do to start getting comfortable with it?
Great question. So I kind of like just walk you through my process. So week one, we have you train in the simulator. And basically the first exercise I have people do is throttle up. So they're flying all the way up into the air. And then they're going to cut the throttle, which means like now they're falling out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to just use both joysticks to freak the drone out and go in all different
directions.
Just go
nuts.
Yeah, just go nuts.
Okay.
And as you're about to hit the ground at the very last minute, you just kind of want to figure out how you're going to level out the drone, prevent it from crashing on the ground, and be able to find the horizon line. That drill trains your eyes to basically be able to always locate the horizon line and land on your feet like a cat, as opposed to like just falling while looking up at the sky.
Yeah. Okay, so you do that. How long does it take people to kind of get that down?
That takes maybe like 15 minutes in the simulator.
Okay.
To, 15, 20 minutes.
You're just doing it over and over and over again?
Yeah, just repetition. Like the name of the game is repetition, yeah.
If you like wipe out in a simulator and basically the drone's like broken, does it just reset automatically or what happens?
That's a huge benefit from flying in the simulator. Like if you crash in the game, you just hit reset and you're right
you just
back.
Hit a button. Okay.
Yeah, brand new. But if you crash in real life, there's other repercussions.
Yeah, money. Okay. So then once they learn how to flip it over, what's maybe the next thing you'd have to do, or maybe the first kind of like flight exercise or maneuver?
So after they learn how to locate the horizon line, I just have people learn how to hover, which that alone is a huge challenge. It's not like hovering a Mavic.
Mm.
So that teaches a lot of throttle control. Like if you do too much and you fly too high, if you do too little, you crash. So just find that sweet spot, how to pitch forward, which means like you're like hovering and you're moving in the forward direction.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about FPV is like you can't look down and you can't look behind you. So you can kind of only look to see what's in front of you.
It's like a fixed, yeah.
It's a fixed, exactly. So I just train people how to basically do like what I call a boxing drill. There's a farmhouse inside of the simulator where I'll have people fly close to the farmhouse. They'll stop at each corner. They'll fly forward, stop, turn left, fly forward, stop, turn left.
Mm.
And I'll have them do this on both sides, so left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And that drill alone is going to teach you a lot of control for how to basically fly and have control over the drone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after they do that, I basically have them do all of the drills that I teach them in the simulator. There's about like 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them do that in real life.
Okay.
So once you do the drills in the simulator and you do them in real life, now you're basically ready to fly for luxury real estate.
Okay. Because now you can fly close to objects without, you know, crashing. All these one-take shots, they're always like so smooth. Does it normally just take you one time? Or do you have to do the same thing like 10 times in order to get like the good take?
So in the very beginning, I used to ask the agents to give me like 5 hours for the properties because the first hour was just nerves. I was like very nervous to fly this drone through this property. And then the second and third hour was just like trying to find the best flight plan. And then finally, like I had to get like 20 different takes and finally get that one shot. But now I can show up, I tell the agents to block out like 2 hours with me.
Okay.
I kind of like already instinctively know what the flight plan's going to be like just walking to the property once. So about 30.
With your experience, you can kind of see it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, and I'm going to start through there and through there. So I've spent about like maybe 30 minutes just walking through, doing my first test flight, setting up. Another 30 minutes will be actually like, I start off with a small drone and I fly the small drone through the property just so that I get the best flight plan, the best flow. And then it'll take me maybe like another 30 minutes to actually get the shot.
Okay.
So
it's a process.
Yeah, all in all, an hour and a half, and then another 30 minutes just to hang out with the client, you know.
Yeah,
just have a drink. Time. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
After we're done flying, just networking.
Cool. Sometimes it's easy for people to simplify things and be like, oh, you just show up, you throw the drone out, you do one shot around, and then you pay, you know, take home $2,000 or whatever, $1,500. But it's a process. It takes a lot of work to get a really good shot and practice. So let's shift quickly over to the business side of things. It sounds like the solar experience helped you not be afraid to like door to door, cold calling, whatever. Or maybe you already had that anyways. I know a lot of people are terrified of cold calling or don't like talking to strangers. Let's say somebody's good with a drone. They have a small portfolio. They've thrown it on social media. Like, what would you recommend them to do if they wanted to go get clients?
Great question. So there's a lot of different industries for where you can use FPV drones to make money. I just chose the real estate industry. I'll talk about mine a little bit, but I'll share with you guys a few others. For example, my business partner, one of the other instructors, Stefan, he chases luxury cars. What he did was he went up to some luxury car meets in Canada. I think it was in Toronto. And he basically joined some clubs and he started offering all of the people there in those clubs like, hey, whenever you guys are doing your car meets and you're driving through these scenic highways and you know, country roads, I'll just chase you guys with my drones. So like, oh yeah, we love that idea.
That's cool.
Great content, awesome. So he's chasing these $500,000 cars, and then afterwards when the owners of the car see these videos, like, wow, that's amazing, I love these videos. It's like, all right. At that point, you have two options. You can try to network with the entrepreneur who owns that car,
mm-hmm.
or you could just charge him like, all right, cool. If you want me to make you a really sick edit, pay me $500 and I'll just send this your way.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's like 50 people at a car meet and you do this for like, let's say 10 of these cars, you know, you just made 10 times 500.
Yep.
So that's all done with, you know, that one day, that one car meet. So that's just one avenue for how you can make money with FPV and luxury cars. The other one is, let's say that entrepreneur, instead of charging him $500, you want to network with him, you want to build a relationship, find out what that entrepreneur's business is and find out how you can add value to his business.
Hmm.
So I've met a lot of guys who are in sales and they have sales companies. Basically what I do is I find out, what do they want more of? Do they want more sales? Do they want more people to join their company? Usually they want to focus on the recruiting side of things. That's where all of their money is going, is recruiting. So I help them come up with really badass promo videos to recruit more people to join their sales organization. That's another way to make money. So it really comes down to figuring out, one question is, how can my skill of flying drones help a business owner make money? If you mm-hmm. can figure that out, then you can charge a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing that with real estate, where it's like, okay, normal walkthrough videos are boring. My drone fly-throughs are fast-paced. They, you know, hold people's attention. They can show you an entire property without you feeling like you're getting lost. And they get a lot of views, so it's going to help you sell your home faster. You know, Stefan helps people, entrepreneurs, highlight their lifestyles, their nice cars. And then the salesman side of things is like, I help you recruit more people with my drone.
Right.
So it's all about the service that you're providing, like right. how you're helping them solve a problem.
Yeah, it's smart. I think, again, a lot of people focus on, oh, well, I know how to fly a drone, so don't you want to pay me to do that? They don't take it, like, put themselves in that person's shoes. Like, why in the world would that person care about a drone to mm-hmm. begin with? They don't really care about the drone. They care about that house selling, right? Or they care about, or probably maybe in real estate, maybe it's another luxury property owner seeing that and going, oh, why don't you list my house? That video was cool. Like you said, they care about more salespeople in their organization. This is just something that's going to help them achieve whatever that is. So
yeah, absolutely. You got to basically reverse the roles.
Yeah.
Now let's pretend that instead of being the FPV pilot, you're the business owner and you have this guy with a drone. It's like, okay, what can you do for me? Like, how right. is your drone going to help me make more money?
Right.
If you can't figure that out, then, you know,
what's the point?
Why yeah. would I pay you money?
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, before we go, do you have any kind of, I guess, parting thoughts, words of wisdom for people that you want to leave them with?
Words of wisdom. You can do it.
No, that's awesome, man. Well, I think your story is super inspiring. Basically, dipping out of high school to go to Starbucks to learn about how to be an entrepreneur, to getting blocked from learning, to figuring it out, to making ends meet however you needed to, having a successful business. Now, you know, you're moving on to try to expand, maybe teach other people. So really, really cool journey.
You want me to leave with a funny story?
Yes, please.
All right. So the whole high school thing, I ended up dropping out of high school and my parents had no idea.
You didn't tell you? Your parents didn't know?
No, they didn't know. I told them that I was doing it online because I have Colombian parents. They came to this country so I could get a college education, become a doctor. So the whole dropping out of school was not even an option. It wasn't in the cards for me. But basically, I told them I was doing school online and I ordered a fake high school diploma.
You're
to the
kidding.
House.
Do they know now?
Yeah, they know now.
Oh, look at this. Do they listen to podcasts?
Yeah, no, we were just laughing about this like a few nights ago. Oh, okay. But yeah, I ordered a fake high school diploma. Oh,
and then from where? Like, what is it? What did it say?
It was like you get to customize what school you graduated from, and it looks all official. It was like $30. don't do this at home, kids. Like, don't do what I did.
When did you drop out of high school?
2016.
Like, what grade were you in?
11.
So you were mid 11th grade?
Yeah, like I was basically done with 11th grade.
Okay, so you only had 1 year left.
Yeah, I did it to make a statement. Like, you don't need school to.
Okay, so you dropped out. So you went a year. Yeah. And your parents thought you were doing it online.
Like, yeah, that's when I was doing the whole driving.
Did they see you? Like, they saw you not doing school online at your house. Like, what did they think was going on?
I mean, they're busy, like, working. No, so,
okay. Yeah. I wasn't really see it. Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, like,
ask you, like, how's school going? And you're like,
all the time.
Good.
Like, oh, it's going great. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's boring.
Did they ever ask to see your grades?
No.
Okay.
No.
So,
hold
on. So you got this fake diploma sent to the house.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, congratulations. And then.
Yeah. So this is the part that I feel guilty about. But, you know, they wanted me to go to school, become a doctor. In my defense, I knew that there was like a shelf life on this plan of mine.
I was like, what's the long-term game?
Yeah. I had to figure something out. So basically during that time I was doing the driving. So I was making money as a driver. Oh, this is terrible. My dad was so proud that he put the diploma like on this like nice little glass case, put on the walls. Like, my son graduated high school.
Dude, probably made you feel so terrible.
Terrible. But then when basically my mom called the school and she's like, hey, did my son attend your school? They're like, who?
What tipped her off? Was she suspicious the whole time?
No, she was just suspicious, yeah. So one day she let the intrusive thoughts
win. I wonder why.
Yeah. She let the intrusive thoughts win and she called the school.
She let the intrusive thoughts
win. Yeah. She could have just lived happily not knowing, but it's fine. And then one day my parents sat me down and was like, hey, you lied to us. You didn't finish high school.
Like, what?
I was like, give me 1 second, parents. I go to my room. I bring out a stack of cash. I was like, I made this money driving. Here's my plan. I want to become a full-time videographer. I want to travel the world. School's not for me. Mm-hmm. And if you guys don't accept my dream of what I want to do, then I totally understand. I'm sorry I lied to you, but just let me know and I'll move out. It's fine. Mm. So they're like, all right, our boy's a man now. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, hey, at least I think they probably appreciated you coming clean and kind of owning up.
No, it was a huge weight lifted off my chest. Yeah.
Not trying to double down. Yeah. Well, man, that's a
story test to leave this off. Yeah.
That is a funny story. Well, hey, you know what? I'm sure they're proud of the stuff you're doing now. And, you know, you've obviously been able to be successful with it. And kind of shows you, like, hey, if you've got determination, drive, and you apply that to any type of good idea over a long enough period of time, you know, it works out. I think a lot more people's success as I've interviewed, you're the 60th person I've interviewed for this podcast. So you kind of see over time common traits, you know, and it seems like the skills are important, but it's more of like who people are as their personality and how much they're willing to just like try something and continue to learn something that dictates whether or not they end up being very successful with it or not. Mm. You know, some people, even if they could do a lot of it, they just, I don't know, they don't have the tenacity or they are afraid of something or have some type of weird mental block about like getting out there and just doing stuff for a long enough period of time. So I just see that, yeah, common trait. And, you know, I'm not really surprised that you've been able to be successful given what I've heard about your story. So
thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Juan.